Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, October 18th, 2024. Have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our new good friend, Wisconsin Rapids Fire Marshal, Brennan Agin. Brennan, thank you so much for being here today.
Good morning, James. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
I want to start off by saying journalistically, you know, integrity, it's always important with these conversations. I have none. I respect and appreciate our firefighters so darn much, and I was looking so forward to all week talking with you guys. For one, we don't get to talk to you nearly enough, and we don't get an opportunity to put a spotlight on our firefighters nearly enough. But of course, it's also October, which is Fire Prevention Month. Perfect time to be able to conversate and have you guys in. So thank you for the time, and thank you for what you and your team do for our community. We really deeply appreciate what you guys do. And with that, we're going to get into what you guys have been doing, where you've been bopping around for Fire Prevention Safety Month and some of these things. And we'll get into that in a moment, even some tips for you. But if you don't mind, Brennan, I'd like to get a day in the life of what it is to be a firefighter and touch on that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah, certainly, James. So for our department, we are a career department, and our firefighters work a 48-96. So their day starts at 7 a.m., and they're there for 48 hours. And then they have 4 days off, that 96 hours. So, you know, we our expectations of them and the tasks that they're dealt with in those 48 hours can differentiate tremendously, you know, depending on what the call is and things. And, you know, in those 48 hours, those guys have requirements by training that they need to do, you know, try to get out in the public and do some public relations if possible, those types of things. And then obviously our priority is 911 calls, right? Yeah. That is our job. And we don't know when that's going to happen, but we're always prepared for it. So our guys know coming into their 48, or our membership knows coming into the 48, what's expected of them, and they do a great job with that.
I appreciate that breakdown. Thank you. Thank you for that, Brennan. I hope that it for one, creates a little empathy for people out there, but also understanding that what the job takes. And maybe we can encourage some more people to be a part of our firefighters out there, wherever you're listening to us. One thing that you said, and I was talking with Brennan beforehand in our pregame here a little bit, I've always admired firefighters, have, as a young kid, always thought about doing that and really respected the task, the job, the work that it takes. But there are parts of this that I hadn't really thought much about, and you said that right there. And I don't know if I or even the listeners have ever really thought about what that is like for those 48 hours, and you don't know what is coming. And the mental task that is, and what that takes. And we have done a really good job in our society of talking about mental health nowadays. And I think now is where the real legwork comes in with that, where, we're all cool talking about it now in a raised voice. Now what do we do? how do we actually fix this or make this situation better? Part of how we do that, I believe, in the studies that I've read have believed, understanding what others are going through and having some of that compassion and having more compassion in our society. And I don't know many jobs, and I don't know many of us that can relate to 48 hours. You don't know what's coming. You have to be prepared for everything and what that can be like on the human brain and the human soul and everything. That gives us an opportunity to kind of put ourselves in those shoes for a second.
Right. Yeah. And that's a great point. You know, you bring up the ideas of mental health, you know, and PTSD, and, you know, more and more studies are coming out, and then we're realizing that, that saying things and speaking up, you know, it's not a weakness, right? It's actually a strength to be able to say, you know, maybe we need to look deeper into this. And our department just started last year. We call it a checkup from the neck up, where they meet. Yeah, they meet with a counselor and do a session with them, and it gives them the opportunity to maybe discuss some things that they've had in the past, you know, in their career or what they've seen. And our membership has welcomed it tremendously. We've seen some great things with it. And, you know, like you said, just having that empathy, you know, and people, you know, their thoughts, and, you know, we want to make sure that our employees, you know, obviously cancer is a high risk for firefighters, right? Yeah. But what we're also finding is it's not just cancer. It's the mental health aspect of this job as well. It's just as important as our physical ability to do this job.
Yeah, so well said.
Yeah, and it creates a more well-rounded employee too, you know, somebody that can offer their services. We're not building up these emotions or these thoughts that they may have had. They can actually speak out about it, and it's a great thing that's coming forward with the science and helping the firefighters in their careers.
It's so encouraging to hear that, and it's no secret, you know, our departments around the country are having a hard time filling the gaps and getting enough people, and maybe these things are part of how we get to that. If anything, it won't hurt getting more good people into these jobs and doing this. Appreciate it. And the job is there's no pause button for that job, so I understand that stuff's going on over there. If you've got to go, let us know. Okay, that comes first.
Yep.
But I appreciate it. The time. This is all the more reason why we appreciate the time.
Right.
Those 48 hours, man. You're on the clock. You're on the clock.
Yeah.
When it comes to that, actually, and I want to go shift right into Fire Prevention Month and some of the things that you guys have been able to do, getting into the community and running into kids and going to schools and some of that. Now, can you let us know some of the activities that you guys have been up to?
Sure. Yeah. So Fire Prevention Week is usually the week of October 9th. Started back in 1922, and then it's gained ground ever since. And what we've offered, or what we do offer for Fire Prevention Week, is we go to the schools within the school district here. Our main targets are kindergartners and third graders to try to get out the fire prevention. Started early with the kindergartners. What we do is we take our gear in with us. We show them our gear, show them that we're not scary wearing all of our gear, how to be safe if something were to happen in their home, having a fire escape plan, checking smoke detectors, things like that. Don't be hiding. You know, we're here to help you and to try to get that point across to those children. And then with the third graders, Wood County Fire Chiefs Association has a fire safety trailer, which is great. It goes around the entire county. We have it for that week of Fire Prevention Week, and we put the third graders through that trailer. On the one side of the trailer, it has a mock-up kitchen, and the other side is a mock-up or a pretend bedroom. And we talk about fire safety tips both in the kitchen and in the bedroom, because those are our two areas, we're more apt to have a fire. You know, for sure in a kitchen, most fires are caused by kitchen cooking fires. And then the bedroom part of it is, most fires occur at night, typically. So when you're sleeping, right? And basically teaching those children how to get out of the home safely out of their beds. So it's been great for us. And, between kindergartners and third graders, we reached out to 650 students this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
our third graders get a little booklet, a fire safety booklet that's offered through Community Safety Net, and numerous businesses within the community donated to have these books provided for those children. So we can't thank those businesses enough for providing those donations to get that fire safety message to those third graders.
Great.
And then our kindergartners, we give them fire helmets and then a little pencil pouch, just as a token of, hey, thank you for listening to our topic, our fire safety, and hopefully they can take something away from it.
I ran into one of those kids, and they loved it. They were running around all day with it. And that kid, like many others, had something spark in them. No pun intended. But they had something inside. And I know what I'm talking about with this. Is as I was telling Brennan beforehand, as much as the audience knows, I've rambled many times that I've been an actor since I was a kid. But before that, I wanted to be a firefighter. And that was the gig to me that seemed it touched on everything I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to do good work. I wanted to be able to help others and be there for others. That really got me on a lifelong love of not only appreciating our emergency workers and our firefighters specifically, but also understanding that this is a job that not everybody can do. Hopefully getting more and more people that can do the job interested in it. It certainly is something that, when you're taking these things, yes, we want to spread the safety for fire, and the understanding of how to be able to be safe, but also hopefully creating some maybe future firefighters. It's a great work that you guys are doing out there, and I appreciate that. So, Brennan, one of the other things we wanted to talk about today were Fire Prevention Month is certainly some tips and some things people can keep in mind when it comes to this. You touched on earlier that the majority of fires do happen in the kitchen, and there are other places too. When it comes to putting out smoke alarms, I think this is one of the first ones people wonder. A lot of places you move in and they already have one installed, but where you put your fire alarm is key to so much of this. So, to our audience, where is the best places to be putting those fire safety alarms?
Yeah, certainly. The best places to be putting smoke detectors and smoke alarms is each bedroom. In a hallway is a great spot. Every room in the house is ideal for smoke detectors, your living rooms. Obviously, the bathrooms and the kitchens, they do make special smoke detectors. Otherwise, it sets off, when you're just cooking, even just boiling water, sometimes it'll set those off. But yes, the ideal places is every bedroom and the hallways. In your basement, carbon monoxide detectors are just as important, especially with the winter season coming up here. Everybody's starting up their furnaces. Carbon monoxide detectors are just as important. But to get back to the smoke detectors, yes, bedrooms, hallways, your living areas are ideal spots for those.
It's a great note about the carbon dioxide detectors too, and testing these at least once a month is always a good idea too, making sure those batteries are fresh in there.
Yeah, definitely testing them, and we recommend every time daylight savings is to replace those batteries. Yes, check your smoke detectors monthly, but daylight savings times, when next month here we're falling back, that's a great time, a great reminder to replace those smoke detector batteries. And then again in the spring, when we spring ahead an hour, go ahead and replace that battery again. The nice thing is a lot of the new batteries or the new smoke detectors have a 10-year battery in them, which are sealed. So you don't have to remember to replace the battery. But, we still recommend just monthly testing that smoke detector to make sure it's still working for you.
You just made my dad so happy. That's when he changes his, so he's going to feel so good about that. But it's a great, I didn't know that about the modern smoke detectors. That's really cool. Really smart of them to do it that way.
It is, and they're, I think they, with the technology, they're finding that people weren't replacing those batteries like they should have. Yeah. So having that 10-year sealed battery really helps tremendously keep people safe.
Yeah. Staying in the kitchen, a number of things can really help keeping the fire safety up and keeping these numbers down as far as the amount of fires we have. They mentioned that always unplugging countertop appliances. That's another good idea.
That's a great idea. Yep. Anytime you're doing any cooking in the kitchen, too, is making sure that you're staying in the kitchen with that cooking. Anytime you're doing on the stovetop or, don't leave your residence with the oven going. Things like that can help, if something were to happen, you are readily right there to be able to kind of eliminate that issue that you're going to have.
As a side note, too, if they're unplugged, they're not sucking your electricity bill or anything. So, it's a win-win right there for that.
That is right. Correct.
And while this may seem like a simple one, it's really important. And in so many stats that I'm seeing come down to people forgetting to turn their oven off or something, making sure that everything is off in the kitchen before you leave it or before you wrap up for however long you're going to be in there.
Yes, definitely. And just staying in the kitchen while we're cooking is so important. It's vital.
That's a great note. I'll say this, especially coming from an Italian household, we are so known for rambling and moving around the house and everything. That's a really good note. That's a really good one. When it comes to the rest of the house, there are certainly other, every other room has its fire dangers to them. But are there anything that stands out? Like, oh, this is one I see a lot of and people really could use to be more on point with this one. It's a tough question. You see a lot of houses up there.
The kitchen is kind of the biggest one. The big thing is keeping things away from your furnaces, your water heaters, especially if they're gas appliances, those combustibles away from there, helps eliminate that fire danger in your house as well.
And if you are able to really lock down, okay, I know this room, I know the kitchen is safe, I know that I'm doing my job here. It certainly doesn't mean that it can't happen anywhere else, but it does take a little bit off your plate. It does take a little bit off of your mind and you're, again, coming back to mental health, of feeling safer. And so much of this is about that, is feeling safe in your own home, feeling good about these things. When it comes to laying your head down at night, that's where the carbon monoxide and some of those other testers come in that are really good to be having up to date.
Yes, for sure. And another a slogan that the National Fire Protection Association, NFPA, they have a great website too. They offer materials to help keep you safe with fire and every other regard as far as it comes to fire prevention. But one of the slogans too is close before you doze. So making sure your bedroom door is closed before you fall asleep. That way if an incident were to occur in the middle of the night, it buys you time, right? We know that fires with the materials that are burning, they burn hotter, they burn faster. We have less time to get out of our homes with the new materials you know, things are made out of. And by closing that door, it buys you some time, right? It gives us the ability to hear that smoke detector and then find our way out. Have an escape plan, have two ways out of your home are great things, you know, and practicing these with children, you know, your grandchildren and everybody, having a family meeting place, you know, and just this is a great month to just practice those and it kind of reiterates or
kind of go over them, you know, rehash them a little bit and make sure that they're fresh, especially with little kids. We all know what it's like when you're a little kid. A squirrel, you know, you get distracted real easy and everything. It's never bad to go over those. If I could, this is where I wanted to wrap up, was making an escape plan and making sure that you have that intact in your home. This is something every single home should do. Even if you live alone, it's something that you should have in your head. when I was a kid, we had a lot of stuff growing up happen and everything. And one of the things we went through was having a fire safety plan, you know, having a good escape plan. Well, thankfully, growing up, never had anything happen. Right. But as a grown adult, I was at my parents' house and a fire happened. Sure. And that same plan we had from like 11, 12 years ago or whatever, all of a sudden popped in. We talked about this months afterwards.
It stuck in your mind.
It stuck with us. Sure. And sure enough, we all felt safer about or afterwards talking about it. Like we felt you're never going to feel necessarily in control. But you felt a little more prepared for this as it was happening because you were immediately brought back to, oh, I remember when my dad told me this, or I remember this thing or something. So even a decade later, that plan came into play. Yeah. So you just never know. And it's that break glass in case of needed kind of thing. Hopefully you never have to do it. This is the only time you ever do this plan. But if you want it in there just in case.
Yeah, definitely. Create that fire safety plan with your family members, or even if you're, like you said, if you live alone, just going through it, you know, having two ways out of your place of residency is great. You know, we're creatures of habit, right? We always do one way, right? Yeah. But having a backup plan is a great way to help save ourselves and keep ourselves safe. Having a meeting place is another wonderful thing. Once everybody gets out, that way, when the fire department shows up, everybody's in one area. We can go up to you and say, you know, is everybody out of the residence? Yep, everybody's out. We're all here. You know, that saves so much time for us, you know, and everybody's in one spot. It makes our job, knowing that everybody's out of the residence, everybody is safe, much easier.
Great note there. And just to piggyback on it, if you have animals, having something, including them in the plan is key to this. Yes. You're going to be worried about them in that moment. So you might as well include them in the plan.
Yes, please do.
If you have dogs or cats, having a leash near the door always is a great one. Or both of those exits, or at least one of those exits is a great idea.
For sure.
And certainly with other animals, having a carrier or something like that nearby. These are a part of your family. You're going to care about them in these moments just as deeply. So having them a part of the plan isn't a bad idea either. And again, going over these plans, it doesn't have to be October. It doesn't have to be Fire Prevention Month to do this.
No.
And it doesn't have to be it is serious. It doesn't have to be ultra serious. You can enjoy this with the kids. You can enjoy this with your family, or just doing it yourself and everything. And again, coming back to the mental health part of this and such, hopefully you never need it, but having it in the back of your mind, in the front of your heart, is only going to help you going forward and help you feeling better about it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and the kids, children enjoy doing these things.
Yeah,
you know?
They do. Yeah.
Having them draw out, you know, what they think is the appropriate way, and then maybe helping adjust that as needed. And then practicing it. You know, once you have it in place, like you said, James, like practice it, go through it. And it just builds that muscle memory. So if something, God forbid, something were to happen, you're ready for it.
That's a great note. Brennan, you killed it today. You did a great job, man. I really do appreciate it. Unfortunately, you did such a good job, you're going to have to come back. Oh. You're going to have to come back sometime, and not just in October. I want you guys on more on the air with us and everything. If people want to find out more, be able to reach out to our local fire department, is there a way to do that, Brennan?
There is. And you can, the city's website, Wisconsin Rapids, on a link there, you know, under the departments, our fire department website, we have things that we can offer you. You know, even calling the fire station to speaking to myself regarding fire safety tips or anything of that nature. National Fire Protection Association, the NFPA website, offers, like I said, great resources for people, especially for fire prevention.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anytime you need, just give us a call. We'll gladly help you out any way we can.
Yeah, any questions or anything, there are no bad questions, anything like that, reach out to them, please ask. And certainly to anybody out there that is thinking about becoming a firefighter or learning more about that, please reach out and do. We always need more good people involved in this, volunteers and above. Brennan, stay safe out there. Say hi to the rest of the team for us. Thank you again for everything you do in the community, putting up with my questions and joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you, James. I appreciate the time, and I welcome coming back again.
Looking forward to it. And looking forward to another week of Midday Magazine. We send a big thank you and shout out to our scheduler, Pam Hilke, doing the amazing work she does week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. Appreciate all you listeners out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.